This is the Changing the Game podcast, where we share with you the stories of those who are changing the games for themselves, for their communities, and for the industries where they work, through education, diversity, and innovation. Join us in every episode as we take a deep dive into the fascinating journeys of those ordinary people who are doing the extraordinary, from visionaries to operators and everything in between. Changing the Game is proudly powered by Vici Ventures, the venture partners of our corporate clients, VCs and CVCs, connecting industry to innovation ecosystems. Together, we'll nurture 1 billion seeds. Get ready to be inspired.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to one more episode of Changing the Game. I have today here with me a friend that I made through work that became a closer friend, Carlos. It's a very big privilege to have him here. Oh, let's go for it. Let's hear his story. So welcome to Changing the Game, Carlos.
Thanks, Wilson. It's great to have and be with your team here.
Cool. So, Carlos, we always start like that. So who is Carlos? Tell us a little bit about who are you.
I'm a Peruvian Australian now, but I grew in the rainforest of Peru, so very near to Machu Picchu. And I think that has marked a lot who I am and the connection with nature, but also with this sense of curiosity of trying to find out what's the new thing and try to really get through that.
Very cool. I think we never had someone from Peru in the show, so tell us a little bit how that looks like. How was growing up in Peru?
Peru in the mid-80s was very challenging. As you know, there was tourism, almost a civil war, so very complex environment. But I could say it's very interesting because as the country moved out of that very positively during the 90s, generate a sense of resilience over everybody really need to find their way and how to do it. So I think there's a very entrepreneurial spirit that before has been clear in the Peruvians, but through that case, that was just only augmented, and that was very, very linked to what the identity is and how the normally the Peruvians tend to work out things.
Very nice. So here, Changing the Game, so we have three pillars that we're always talking about it. We talk about education, innovation, and diversity. So it's very clear for me there will be a rich chat. So in the education sort of perspective, tell us about, what did you study and how you chose to do that? And
yeah. I was very confused at the beginning because I wasn't clear if I need to be an IT person or a lawyer or potentially an economist. But at the end of the day, I make a decision that is, let's go as safe as possible. So very conservative. And I could say linked to this environment of a lot of uncertainty in Peru. So I chose to go to that direction. But was very interesting because I started as a journalist. That was my first gig. Ooh. So a professor said, hey, you're very curious regarding what's going on, but to go to a bank could be an option. What about something more more wide? And he said, well, that's good, let's try it. And so I started talking with people that were senior people in companies and trying to find out what's the story behind, what's the thing that we can publish. So it was a fantastic experience to really understand how these people operate and more importantly, what's key for them and how they manage change and how they transform their organizations, the cultures they lead. So it was a very interesting first gig to have, and that was a start. From there, naturally, mining came, and then obviously other industries, but that was the origin.
I just learned something new about you. I got to know you as an executive in the mining sector. So you talk about mining. Is that mining because Peruvian is, you know, has a strong mining industry and et cetera? So is that where that change occurs?
Spot on. As a Latin American, the probability of afterwards being in a professional services industry, with PwC in this case, the probability of having a mining customer was almost 50%. Okay, the other 50% would be maybe agri, maybe banking, but in my case was mining. So I had a lot of customers that were either Canadian, Australian, or Chinese. customers going to Latin America to buy assets. So as I study economics, then a natural step was, hey, why I don't help them through that process of doing those acquisitions from the, obviously, the buyer side, but also from the seller side. And that was the reason I went to do my MBA afterwards at China, because my connection with China was linked to my customers, but also through my maternal heritage. My maternal grandfather was Cantonese. A very good percentage of Peruvians have that Cantonese element. So, but it was latent. It was not something very evident to, hey, this is the connection to China. But in the background was something there. So when I put two and two together, we said, look, China sounds very interesting. This was 2010s. China was growing 10%. So it was very natural to understand, hey, what is this trend that is coming or that is real? And what's the best way we can maximize that value and identify opportunities there? So that's why I decided to do that my MBA first in China, and then I did an extent in India. My logic of that was, I'm Latin America, I understand what the supply of resources is, but I didn't have a real grasp of what the demand of those metals and materials are. So do the China and India allow me to really get more detail, hands-on, on the ground, and understand those very, very interesting and complex cultures.
So it's interesting that you, I can see you articulating a rationale for you to do that, but I'm still like, it's a guy in Peru that chose to do an MBA in China, in India. So it's almost like I feel like you're fabricating that rationale, because it's not rationale at all. So, but then I imagine how rich that is, right? So get out of South America, go to China, then go to India. So you ended up building this very international profile. Can you talk more about that? So how that changed your life or perspectives? Well, you know, what is that international journey that you took?
It's a very interesting point, because I agree, there's a lot of rational, but also there's a lot of irrationality in the process, because as I mentioned at the beginning, it's a matter of discovery, you know, and that discovery has this element of, you don't know really what will happen, but you go through it. So I think that that origin of sharing with you on where I studied give me this sense of, hey, what's the thing that will be interesting to know, to understand. So that was the logic of China and India. But then it starts getting a bit addictive. You want to know more, you want to see more. And naturally for a Latin American, US is something that you would naturally go either to study or to work through. So also that was part of the next stage of what I did, joining first a Chinese state-owned enterprises that has different interests over the different geographies. That was through Chinalco. And what's fascinating, no? Because it's something is to go to China, spend a week there and have a bit of time. Something absolutely different is really to be physically there and in the headquarters and understanding more deeply that sort of, not only the culture, but also how things operate there. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from the friends that were standing with me that had much, much level of Mandarin than myself, but more importantly, that they have done an investment of long time and a lot of years. So when I went through that process, I said, all right, that's very interesting, but how is the best way to connect both worlds, the East and the West? And mining was a very great sort of platform to do it, and that's why I joined one of the big companies, Rio Tinto. And that has been amazing, because the global reach that Rio has allow us to really go through different type of projects, exploration, operations, technical, different cultures. So fantastic experience in the organization, learning and understanding different type of profiles and different cultures. And at the end of the day, being some sort of a bridge of different cultures, it's something that has always attracted me to do.
Very nice. Very good. So, and when you explain your journey, you talk about a state-owned Chinese companies, ended up working in a giant mining company like Rio Tinto. But it strikes me in conversations that we have, that you are entrepreneurial, you are like, you have that sort of curiosity for innovation, etc. So how that come about, particularly considering that you have the career in those more larger companies? How is that?
Very interesting. I have two sort of angles where that entrepreneurial spirit has come. One, through investing in early stages, and we do this with my partner, and we balance our different characteristics to try to identify really interesting entrepreneurs and how we can bet on that. And sometimes plays well, sometimes plays doesn't well, but the learning process is very enriching. And the second one, it's through the main activities doing the corporate world, that you could be a bit of a internal entrepreneurial or directly through a company. So after that time, I decided to focus on decarbonization. And decarbonization, now it's obviously front and center of all the organizations, but the startup dynamic, it's really the one that will make the difference. Yeah. And it's accelerating that. So Carbon Chain, it's a fantastic platform. It's a software as a service company that is focused on hard to abate industries as mining, plus oil and gas and traders. So I joined them some time ago, and it was a great experience because, as you mentioned, you need to unlearn certain sort of characteristics of your corporate world to be adjusted in your entrepreneurial, more startup type of mindset and agile. And that was painful, but it was very, very enriching and also very interesting on how you could unlearn things and learn other types of approaches. So fantastic process and experience working with them.
Awesome. So you mentioned two things that that caught my attention. So you didn't use these names, but it looks like you are an angel investor or an early stage investor. So I would love to know more about that. But how did you start? Why investing in startups?
So my partner has been an entrepreneur for a long period of time. So from one side,
she was herself a founder of companies. Yeah. Okay.
So in that sense, it has been almost seeing that process at the site.
Yeah.
And with that element of curiosity, it's like, hey, I want to know, understand a bit more.
Mm.
And vice versa. So that has been almost a learning process parallel to my activities. But there was a moment I said, like, wait, why we don't go like a bit more both together doing it? And it was a fantastic partnership to really balance our own experiences in that process of identification of these early early founders and early processes. And at the end of the day, it was not planned, but was still natural through the process. And interestingly, she has now switch to the corporate world in an entrepreneurial mindset also, but now I'm in the other side. So I could say it was not planned, but relatively natural.
Interesting. So very cool. So you ended up going into yourself into the innovation ecosystem because you found a partner who was an entrepreneur, and now you switch place. So now she is in a corporate world, and you more in a innovation ecosystem, I guess. Cool. So you do know that I'm involved with angel investing. So you know we have both angels here in Perth.
Absolutely.
So I'll explore that part just a little bit more, because some of the people that listen to the show and you know, know that we come from that sort of background as well. So you decided then to do some investments in that area and etc. So normally, that area is way more risky, and some people are a little bit afraid of not knowing those risks and etc. So, when it comes to your and your partner sort of you know, looking at your opportunities to invest, and I imagine that you don't only invest in startups, maybe you have some other investments. So more generically, so would you be able to explain what is your strategy, I would say.
Sure thing. So, yeah. So I think you have nailed it. It's obviously it's a portfolio linked to different type of vehicles, but the one that we're discussing that is the more founder or angel or early stage, it's so rich and it's so interesting, but also very risky, as you mentioned. Nevertheless, the part that I could say it's a passion is this process of identifying the founder and getting very connected to the founder and his or her capabilities or the team's capabilities, as opposed to only the problem that they are solving. So that's something that has been very interesting to understand more deeply, but also to discover through it. And I could say it's a process that has technique that could be added, but also it's a process of discovery that is very rich to go through it and have some failures, some non-failures, but at the end of the day, have a good time in the process.
Very nice. I might come back to that, yeah. but before that, you said that when you, in the very beginning, when you introduced yourself, you said that you are a Peruvian Australian. You ended up in Australia. Mm. So, and of course you were working for Rio, so I can imagine where that came from. Mm. But would you mind sharing with us so how you ended up in Australia?
It was through the corporate world, but I think COVID was a part of the element of making that decision to settle in Australia. It's quite interesting. Australia and Latin America have several similarities, and that also play a part. Now, this element of the nature and the perfect sort of beaches and hills and sort of terrains that and diversity that Australia has, it's very, I could say, connected to what I've lived before in Latin America. And the second thing is the sense of, hey, resources and decarbonization play a part in both sides. So even though it could feel relatively far and isolated, because there are so many connections and links to it. Mm. And at the end of the day, it's a society that is evolving and has demonstrated that evolution through managing correctly resources with the opportunities of improvement that it has, it's a reality. So that was sort of a logic step of saying, hey, we could settle in Australia and still have great connections in Latin America. For example, and through education, engineers and people that are looking to increase their sort of reach and global reach through education, through startups, it's something that we are keep connected because the opportunities to make that now are limitless. And it's only a matter of sometimes making a connection. Sometimes language generates a barrier, and that's something that we are also focused on, how we can help that barrier of the language being limited, being non-limiting of the opportunities. But look, artificial intelligence will disrupt that massively. So in that sense, that barrier of the language more and more will be not there, and the opportunities of being connected will only be growing and growing.
That's a fantastic perspective. So let me ask you for this take. So one of the things that I'm involved with and very curious and passionate about is this. So there are things here in Australia, particularly in Western Australia where we live, that are extremely developed in a global level. And I'm referring specifically to the mining, you know, operations and capabilities and you know, what the Western Australians in particular did to the industry. But then we talk about startups and innovation ecosystems, and we see the other way around. So it's a level of maturity that you lack. There is a gap of maybe few, maybe many years in terms of where Western Australia sits in that the maturity of the innovation ecosystem. I'll put you a bit on the spot, because I don't know if you thought about that before, but I spent quite a bit of time thinking, what is in the innovation ecosystem that would attract people to be in this place?
Yeah.
Right? So as opposed to, okay, I want to build my own company, so I'll go to Sydney or I'll go to US. Right? So What do you think that could attract the right people to help develop the innovation ecosystem in WA?
Difficult point. Nevertheless, I could say there are certain elements that are natural to that combination. One is the privilege of being in a sort of area where resources have been part of the growth, that it's not necessarily common. The second will be decarbonization. I could say it's a potentially good connection between the opportunities of startups and the reality of hard-to-abate industries. And the third one will be the higher diversity that this part of the world is having. So in that sense, that combination will be potentially advantageous to be compared to other type of regions. The other one will be the quality of life that Western Australia has, because if you compare like for like, it's something that I could say not many people really know. Mm. And only when they experience it, like, hey, I didn't know that this was such an amazing place with all these characteristics that we're talking. So I could say there's a latent element of how that could be better communicated to have that attraction. But I could say that collaboration between the players, being the corporate world and the startups and academia, will massively make that in a different stage and different level.
Yeah. So interesting your take. So if I'm not wrong, let me try to rephrase. So if I see your reasons upside down, the other way around. So you talk about the quality of life and how good this place is, right? So, and we have the privilege to live here. So when you have already experienced, you almost say, where could anyone want to live in the planet other than here, given the systems and the structures and the institutions in place that make life here very comfortable. We also in a very beautiful place, right? So, but as you said before, if you don't know that, you're not likely to choose to go to that place because of that. But then you put a very economical reason for it. One is the privilege of having, you know, this mining powerhouse state. So anything we can think of in terms of mining, where we can learn or have access from here. So, but then you have the industry itself reinventing itself in terms of the decarbonization and how you can make that, you know, the whole zero emission targets and the contribution that the industry can do to that. So they have the capital to develop those things, and those things are transferable to other industries as well. So yep. You learn with the industry that, you know, is a powerhouse and rich, and you transfer that knowledge to others. So, and I think that economical reason, I think the initial appeal, I think, is way more clear.
Agree, and I think that the element you just mentioned about the connections with the other industries, it's something that is there. Mm. It's only a matter of making that narrative more clear with examples that this is an ecosystem, as you're saying, is not only particular part of the industry with a specific challenge. It's more like how this could be done in an ecosystem with logistics, with energy, with robotics, with aviation, with marine. That's something that is amazing. And I think coming back to Western Australia, this connection of marine environment, but also the mining and the energy, but also agriculture, it's simply an ecosystem that has a lot to offer, but needs to be based on tangible cases that then are augmented, and people said, all right, this is amazing. Let's keep that flow going.
Very cool. Let me come back for your, take a little bit of an advantage of your international experience. So I know that you're now working with a company that has Indian heritage or Indian background.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing as well. So moving forward, there is these, the barriers to do business globally are lower. As I mentioned, technology before, and the way you can interact with, you know, teams around the world is completely different. How do you see that as a potential advantage for WA?
It's a very interesting case. India, it's what it's going on in India. It's something that is very unique. Normally, countries go from first manufacturer and then they do services. And India has done services, and now it will come to manufacturer. So it's per se a process that will disrupt a lot of things, how people is educated, what people choose, how capital is allocated. So it's a fascinating moment for the country. But as you're saying, it will be also a fascinating corridor for different countries making that connection. So I could say the link that countries as Australia with India will be a natural process that will only grow and grow. How technology and how digital and sustainability is linked to this will be critical, because that's an opportunity that it's there to be taken. And I could say speed will be important. Who is the ones that identify that opportunity faster? What's the link between those corridors or countries? Will make the difference.
Very good. Tell us about corporate innovation, because you did mention about your, you didn't use that word as well, but yeah. You almost said I'm an intrapreneur, right? So he's working corporate, but mm-hmm. doing innovation and trying to do different, what we do in the companies. So what do you think? Not even what do you think? So I'm interested in what you already have done. So so what are the cases that you've been involved in the past that involved innovation in the corporate world?
Sure thing. I think there's a lot of innovation done when there are interfaces between areas, between cultures, between geographies. Mm. So I could say the value that is generated in those interfaces, and the interface could be in the mining world between the mine and the plant, but could be between two cultures, or could be between the center and the functions of a large company. It's normally when the opportunity lies. So I have been very, all the time, interested to understand why that interface doesn't work, and in the cases that it work, how we can make that magnified. And in the majority of the cases, it's a matter of potentially curiosity between the two parts, and second thing, on how much listening is between the two parts.
Yeah.
And if we're able to establish that listening sort of bedrock, then naturally the innovation comes, because trust is the one that adds up to that listening. So this is something that it's very consistent irrespective of the different environment that I have been operating with. And after that trust, where what is generated is those new ideas. So it's like a bit of a sequence that naturally will be one building on top of the other. And interestingly, what that generates is like people start enjoying and saying, hey, this is something enjoyable to be doing. I'm feeling fulfilled. I'm exploring my full potential because I have this listening process, then I trust, then I'm able to see full self and get that full potential outside and connect it.
Very cool. Tell us, Carlos, in all this international experience and etc., so what is that you're most proud of in your journey?
I could say this element on try to not to judge certain culture. It's a human sort of way of defense to try to judge something, no? So because I have come from the highlands of Peru, in some cases I have been judged, or I have been questioned, or I have been like excluded. So one of the things that I'm proud is that I have been very conscious of that process and not do it myself to others. And in the opposite, try to bring that through the curiosity. So it doesn't matter that you're going to a country that you really don't know too much, or a company that you don't know the structure, or a new group that you are joining. Yeah, those kind of things. And again, it's something that could sounds relatively small, but if you put it in your different activities, it's something that cost me a lot of pride.
I don't know if that's small, man. So let me try to say that with a different take, right? So what I heard you say is you feel lots of pride because you came from the highlands of Peru, a more remote area in South America, and you got to be in a position of, you know, having a great job, living in a great place, so you're proud of the journey. But what it seems like that you enjoy most in that journey was that there was moments of adversity where you felt prejudice, and you learn how to deal, you know, to be resilient, to live in that sort of world. And then what you're saying is, now I kind of, I'm proud because I can help others to go, but I can give that back, that I can start with myself and not judging people because of their origins and et cetera. So is that a good perception of what you said?
I think it's a good sort of summary. And I could add on your point on what your role is or your contribution is to try to identify what are those hidden figures and be very intentional on how those hidden figures are well identified, but also put through the right channels so they can show the potential. But also, I could say it's very interesting on how you do that, but don't exclude others. Because this sort of intent of being diverse, if it's not included, it could be really counterintuitive and really disruptive of a particular group or a particular organization. So be very conscious of not doing it in a way that it's excluding other groups. So that has been a learning in my case of how I can balance both things, because doing both, the final outcome for the company or for the group is much, much bigger.
Yeah, that's not small, man. You should be proud of that. So it's a privilege to hear that. So look, on that note, so there will be other, you know, young boys in the hills, in the high hills of Peru today. They don't know what the future, you know, lies, where or what they're going to do in the future. So if you go back and talk to, you know, little Carlos, it's a little piece of advice about the future. What that would be?
Be curious and try to do positive things to others and try to contribute through the process and just have fun doing it in that discovery.
But someone can say, but I am here in the high hills of Peru. That's not for me. That's for others. So what is that kid would need, like an advice?
I think now with where we are in terms of technology, I think where that person is much better placed and with more tools to try to do the journey in a way that it's not only more fast or simpler, it potentially more impactful, because the connectivity will allow that. So I could say that that person could do it. It's a matter of just
very nice.
Go for it.
So I never ask this question as a closing question, but I will ask you because it's just the vibe that I'm feeling, I guess. So what is next? What is your big dream? What do you think you're gonna be doing the next few years? What would you like to?
The main sort of driver now for myself is how I can connect cultures and how I can connect different realities. So it's something that naturally will come through either investment or being in different parts of ecosystem, but it will be more that connection of cultures. And education plays a very important part. So I could say something linked to education. It's something that I have kept, but I would love to have that as a very important backbone of what I do and what I learn and how I keep getting curious about things.
Very nice. Carlos, I did mention that to you before. So first of all, so it was a pleasure to have this conversation with you. So
likewise. You
know, it feels like just the start because we have known each other for a while, but I didn't know a lot of things about you that I just found out. So I have 100 other questions. But the other thing as well is that we have that sort of thing in common about being, you know, born in South America like you and now being in Australia and you know, feeling that need to connect all those other parts of the planet that we don't know anything about. Many times we judge or, you know, we believe in what we were told.
Yep.
So it's a big pleasure to have the conversation with you. So that was different from other Changing the Game episodes. I think you will feel that if you now when you listen to the conversation just had with Carlos. So I'm sure that the audience will love that. And with that, so just want to thank you very much for being part of the program. And everybody else, this is Carlos. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy this conversation. And I'm looking forward to the next conversations. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, Wilson. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Changing the Game. We hope you enjoy learning about the unique journey of today's guests and the valuable insights they share on education, diversity, and innovation. Remember to keep following your passions and never be afraid to think differently and challenging the status quo. Don't forget to subscribe to our show and follow us on social media for more inspiring stories and valuable information on corporate innovation and innovation ecosystem. Special thanks to our partners, Vici Ventures and Visage, for making this podcast possible. Thanks for listening.